Good day, and welcome to the press preview of Camp David G8 Summit conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note this call is being recorded. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Neil Watkins, Policy and Campaign Director of ActionAid USA. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I join you on behalf of ActionAid, along with colleagues from Oxfam, One, and Save the Children. We're all members of InterAction, which is the largest U.S. alliance of humanitarian and development organizations working on the upcoming G8 summit. As you know, in less than 3 weeks, President Obama will host G8 leaders at Camp David to discuss a range of global issues. On development, the focus this year will be on hunger and food security. And the G8 are expected to launch a new initiative on food security with a focus on engaging the private sector. For anti-poverty organizations such as those of us on this call, the G8's focus on food security and hunger is vital. In the past year, we've seen a famine in the Horn of Africa, continuing to see rising food prices across the globe, and most recently in the Sahel region of West Africa, around 13.4 million people are facing hunger. It's the second crisis in that region in 2 years, and over 1 million children in that region are at risk of severe malnutrition. The time for the G8 to act has never been more important. 3 years ago at the G8 summit in Italy, the G8 launched the L'Aquila Food Security Initiative, pledging $22 billion over 3 years in money to support countries that have a plan to fight hunger and poverty. This year, that pledge comes to an end. And the G8 will face a choice of whether to sustain and expand that commitment to fighting hunger around the world, or rather to let it expire. For anti-poverty advocates, there is a key question that is facing the G8 and President Obama with less than 3 weeks before the G8 summit. And that is, will President Obama and other G8 leaders step up and agree to a bold new deal to fight hunger and malnutrition? Or will this just be another summit in a long line of meetings with warm words but few actions? As we understand it, the balance as to whether this will be a summit that is known for its fight against hunger or just another summit, that decision has not yet been made, and actions by President Obama and key leaders in the coming weeks will define how this summit will be seen. I'd now like to invite our three speakers to share their perspectives on what civil society would like to see from the G8 summit and their expectations. First, I'll call on Gawain Kripke, who's the Director of Policy and Research for Oxfam America.
Thanks, Neil, and thanks all of you for calling in today. This call is meant to sort of set the scene a little bit for the G8 summit that's happening in a few weeks and to try to give some clues into what we think is the drama that is going to take place. As Neil said, President Obama has majored on agriculture and food security as part of his foreign aid agenda, and he successfully cajoled other G8 leaders and many others to take that agenda up at the L'Aquila initiative, or L'Aquila Italian G8 3 years ago. So our expectation is that President Obama will do the same here in Camp David. It's 3 years from that initiative, which was generally seen as a success, and he's done a lot in his own government in the U.S. to promote food security and agriculture development, including significant new resources into those issues. And so we've been calling for President Obama to keep that momentum up, to keep pushing for bigger and better and more ambitious goals and more ambitious resource commitments, that's to say funding for it. And the urgency couldn't be higher. As Neil referred to, there are something in the tens of millions of people right now in Africa that face an urgent food security crisis. More broadly, there are nearly 1 billion people around the world who don't have enough to eat. And the trends in front of us are only going to get worse with population growth, competition for food, and climate change. So making these investments now is critical for the future. And so that's a big question about whether leaders like the G8 will take that seriously and make the commitments now. Last year, tens of thousands of people died of hunger in the Horn of Africa. There was a famine, and mostly children and old people were left to die because the aid couldn't get to them and the investments in their food security hadn't been made. This is the kind of thing that we never want to see again and is within our capacities to avoid in the future. The only question is a political one, whether we can get politicians to take it seriously and make the commitments. So this is what we see as the stakes at the G8. It's a big opportunity. President Obama has been very successful in the past, and so we'll see if he keeps the momentum up. We're encouraging him to do so, and we have some signs that they realize that this is an opportunity and they're going to take steps. So I'll stop there and turn it over to my colleagues, but we're excited for this and hope you can cover it.
Great. Now I'd like to ask the U.S. Executive Director of ONE, Tom Hart, to share some thoughts.
Thanks, Neil. Thanks, everybody, for being on the call. Just a couple points. One on looking at what's happened since L'Aquila and the results from it. And they honestly have been a bit lackluster in three ways. One is donors so far have dispersed about 22% of the $22 billion that they pledged. We expect that number, that 22% delivery, to go up over the course of the next few months as pledges are indeed turned into disbursements on the ground. But again, it's been a challenge and one that we're watching really carefully to make sure that donors actually deliver what they promise. Second, at the Italian G8, they created something inelegantly called the GASPI, the Global Agriculture and Food Security Program. It is a multilateral fund that donors, not just G8, but all donors can give. And it really follows these principles articulated in the Rome Conference to coordinate and to bring donors together in coordinated plans. Only seven of the 40 L'Aquila Initiative signatories have made pledges to the GASPI over the last 3 years, which is a disappointing result. And the GASPI actually has plans ready to fund, except it has a zero balance sheet right now. So we're very much hoping that donors will step up and support that innovative mechanism. Third is donors have been less than perfect in rallying around poor country investment plans for agriculture. The best way these many donors can help coordinate their money is by harmonizing with country investment plans. Donors often have their own priorities, their own ways of measuring, their own different sets of paperwork. These burdens become very inefficient on the ground and end up meaning that the dollars contributed are delivering less than they could. Harmonizing those efforts around country investment plans is a huge priority and one that this G8 really needs to tackle in earnest. So as the other speakers have indicated, we are looking for a bold global plan coming out of Camp David. We think that President Obama is both personally committed and the administration has pushed hard. We believe that there are around 30 country investment plans that are ready to be scaled up and invested in, both by donors, by the countries themselves, and by the private sector. And if they did so, we believe 50 million people could be lifted out of poverty, and 15 million children could avoid the effects of chronic malnutrition, also called stunting. So we really do want to compliment the U.S. for putting this on the agenda. There are only four major items at Camp David, one of which is food security, and that is a very, very positive development. We very much want to see a similar level of effort from other members of the G8 to rally around President Obama's agenda on food security and deliver those results in order for the poorest countries to begin to make these gains in food and agriculture. Thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot, Tom. Let me now ask Michael Clausen, who's the Vice President of Policy and Humanitarian Response at Save the Children, to share a few words.
Great. Thanks, Neil, and thanks, everyone, for joining us on this call. I mean, clearly the hunger malnutrition crisis, which the G8 began to tackle in Italy in 2009, is far from solved. And my colleagues have talked about one part of that solution, which is really, you know, promoting further agricultural development. But there's a second, which has been less visible, and that is that the G8 leaders need to make a very strong commitment to fight the interrelated crisis of child malnutrition. And I think this G8 can certainly set the stage for a big global development win if they really accelerate action on nutrition. it's an urgent investment in the health of millions of children at risk, not only in the Horn of Africa and in West Africa, but really across the world. And as Tom mentioned, they're at risk of being stunted. That may sound like you just lose a few inches or something like that, but in fact, it permanently impairs your physical and mental abilities, and it really is also a big drain on the growth of nations and their economies. So it's a very wise investment in the health of children. It's also a very wise investment in the health of nations and their economies. And I think it's up to the G8 leaders, not only President Obama, but the other seven as well, to act on this fundamental truth, which is that fighting chronic child malnutrition makes really good economic sense. And G8 leaders can't claim true progress if economies are growing, but children are not. We all know what to do. It's not that expensive. Children who receive the right nutrition in the first 1,000 days, and by that I mean from a mother's pregnancy to a child's second birthday, are much more likely to reach their full potential. And the evidence is very clear that children nourished, well-nourished children perform better in school. They have even higher lifelong learnings. The flip side is also true. There's a real direct cost of malnutrition on a global scale. It's about $20 or $30 billion a year that the FAO has estimated. And this investment in nutrition, I think, thus makes very good economic sense. And countries that have taken a lead in reducing chronic malnutrition have seen their economies grow. I mean, countries like China, Vietnam, and Cambodia. So what's at stake at this G8 is really to summon the political will necessary to reduce chronic malnutrition. So as I said at the outset, I mean, I think unless malnutrition is very much part of a bold commitment to address malnutrition is very much part of the Camp David outcome, I don't think G8 leaders can claim true progress if economies are growing, but their children are not. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And I think now we'll open it up for questions.
Okay. At this time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. Again, it's star and one to ask a question. We'll move first to the site of Marsha Baker with EIR News Service. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Let me ask two questions. They seem disparate, but they're about the overall world situation in which there's tremendous financial bailouts, which are unsustainable. You see that in Europe, the United States, and so we have economic crisis and really need a new system. But one, would you comment, you've mentioned about the Obama administration, but biofuels, in particular corn ethanol, has grown enormously, and if you were going to mill for emergency food aid, corn soy product, supplemented appropriately, for example, for the Sahel now, not to mention the lingering need for food in the Horn of Africa, the littoral Mediterranean, Morocco needs grain. There's a corn shortage, in other words, so would you comment on that? It's absolute. Secondly, would you comment, I think Mr. Hart or others mentioned country investment plans, and of course that's in Feed the Future for the Obama administration, and harmonizing with private sectors. We have this terrible example in Haiti early on where Coca-Cola was harmonized with the Haiti situation through the USAID and Dr. Rajiv Shah for mangoes for export. And in fact, instead of having overall infrastructural development, water and sanitation, now there's cholera. So Walmart in Central America or PepsiCo and Nestle in Africa, this isn't a very good model. Would you comment on those two things?
Okay. Great. Maybe I'd ask Gawain to start and maybe Tom also on the second question.
Well, among the speakers on the call, you may find a diversity of views about biofuels. But for Oxfam, we're clear that we see biofuels as a big problem. Biofuels government policies that drive biofuels development, expansion of the market, and consumption of biofuels are, we feel, directly contradictory to food security goals. And we've been working against to try to remove them in the United States and in Europe, and we think many other countries have adopted them, and that's a bad idea. So we're pretty clear about that, and we agree with the analysis that it's creating a terrible competition between energy needs and food needs.
Tom, do you want to add something on the country investment plans?
Sure, I'll try. I'm actually not familiar with the Haiti example, but there's no question that you're going to find problems in some of the most difficult places. What we're talking about here is if you look at the 30 countries where there are agriculture investment plans, current inputs are roughly 50% from the donor community, 50% from the country itself, and I'm already at 100, but a very tiny slice of that is private sector. And I think what the president is trying to do through this initiative at Camp David is increase the amount of private sector contribution to these plans and make sure, though, that the donors and the countries themselves are indeed harmonizing their goals, their strategies, that there aren't doubling up on one thing and leaving gaps in other places, and working on their own priorities versus the country priorities themselves. That, when that happens, it works much more effectively, and each dollar can go that much further. So that's the goal.
Great. Well, why don't we actually open it up to see if there's more questions, since I know there's a few folks on the line.
Okay, again, if you have a question, it's star and one on your touch-tone keypad. We'll move next to the side of Tiffany Stecker with ClimateWire. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I have a few questions, so please let me know when how many I can ask. First, I wanted to know what we can expect in the GA as opposed to the G20 and how those two meetings will differ in terms of what they can offer for food security. I was also wondering if you could talk a little bit about, I know last year before the Cannes meeting the G20 meeting, you mentioned a pilot project in West Africa that was being, I think, supported by the West African states, and how that was really not developing at the rate that you would like. So if someone could give me an update on that, or maybe a little bit more information, that'd be great.
Okay, maybe I'll.
Who's speaking?
Sorry, this is Neil Watkins from ActionAid. I'll start and then see if anyone else wants to jump in. I think between the G and G20, what's being looked at in terms of food security, I think you will see a defined sort of food security initiative coming out of the G8 that looks at sort of ways that G8 donors and other donors can continue their support following up on this L'Aquila initiative. You'll also see a accountability report that comes out from the G8 probably a few days before the summit that is sort of a self-analysis of how donors in the G8 and other parts of that, other contributors to that initiative have done. So I think you'll see a focus on, you know, what has happened at L'Aquila and what comes next there. I think in the G20 you'll see more of a focus on some of the broader structural issues in food security. Obviously, the impact of food price volatility is something that the Mexicans have put very much on their agenda for food security. You'll also see a follow-up to some of the Cannes pledges that were made on food security by when the French had the chair of the G20 last year. And I think an emphasis on productivity and some of those issues. So in a way, there's some overlap, but I think more of a focus, obviously, at the G8 on sort of what comes next after L'Aquila. And then I think on the pilot project in West Africa, we certainly as ActionAid saw that as an important step because we recognize that in times of food crisis and volatility, there need to be ways that countries can protect themselves and make sure that when there are shortages, that there are reserves that they can turn to fill those needs. So we saw that as an important step, but actually think that more should be done to expand sort of the ability of countries and regional blocs to have food reserves so that when crisis hits, they're able to respond effectively.
And has that last time I think you spoke, you said that hadn't advanced as quickly as you would have liked.
Well,
has there been any more development on that?
The actual pilot, the West African pilot project, was approved by the G20 in France, so that is moving forward. I think what we would say is that we'd like to see an expanded scope of that, but the particular initiative that was under consideration last year was approved. I don't know if Gawain or others want to comment on this question. Feel free to jump in if you do. Otherwise, we can...
Just a quick one. I think conceptually, well, not to overstate...
Is this Gawain?
This is Gawain with Oxfam. Not to overstate the case about this making sense, but I think the general idea has been that there be a complementarity between the G8 and the G20, and each has sort of tried to steer away from where the other one is meant to have some expertise. In the case of the G8, the L'Aquila initiative and this sort of effort to coordinate and fundraise between donors and then coordinate and encourage donee countries to get organized with country plans and so forth. that's been the main focus on vis-a-vis food security. For the G20, the focus has been more on the food, on the market issues, the food price volatility, and the vulnerabilities that and the fragility that we're seeing in markets and prices. And so their agenda has tended to focus on those issues rather than kind of the core development agenda. And I think there's been some progress, although I would say between the two, the G8 has delivered more thus far, although we all hope the G20 can do more.
Michael or Tom, unless you want to jump in, maybe we'll just move on to see if there's another question out there.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Great.
Okay, again, if you have a question, it's star and one on your touchtone keypad, star and one to ask a question. I'll pause for a moment to allow any other questions to enter the queue. And it looks like we have a follow-up question from Marcia Baker with EIR News Service. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you very much. And it concerns the following. One of you just mentioned Mexico, the question of price volatility. Of course, that's an it's a terrible example of a nation which in the 1960s was a grain exporter and home of the original Green Revolution from Henry Wallace and Norman Borlaug era. And now it's in desperation because of the southwestern North American drought for trying to import corn and line up other food, and official hunger is spreading with terrible losses of cattle and in that nation of Mexico. So here's what I want to put to you to see if, regardless of the G8 and everything else, what there is back on the agenda in North America, in the United States, the idea from the 1960s period of a North American Water and Power Alliance. It was originally proposed to it's a large water diversion program, bring some down from northwestern Canada and the Yukon and Alaska, where it's very plentiful, just divert some of it southward into the western dry states, which are under terrible drought in the southwest. And in Africa, there was a similar program to divert northward into the Chad Basin, some of the Congo. And this is getting tremendous response in western states. It's called NAWAPA. That is a different approach from the kind of nation-by-nation, hoping certain of the corporations can come in and help in these 30-country programs, which I think was originally a British Foreign Office program. It got a lot of coverage at the UNCTAD conference in West Africa a few years ago.
Sorry, can you just you get to the question? I just want to make sure folks.
So, what is your response, your respective groups or as individuals, to the idea of the large-scale projects of as priorities for national governments?
Okay. Anyone want to respond to that from the panel? If not, I mean, I think I would say a couple things. First, you mentioned Mexico. One is I think that the issue of food prices and import dependence are key for Mexico. As it chairs the G20 summit, one of the issues we've seen is that actually some of the biofuels policies in the United States that have favored corn ethanol, which was referred to earlier, have actually contributed to the increase in prices of corn and tortillas in Mexico. So we think that's sort of an interesting conversation that might be of interest to the Mexican government as they engage in the G20. But on the broader question, I think groups would have a range of views on sort of large projects, and obviously depends on the project itself. But I think would probably agree that investment, both public and private, is important in development, but that how that's done and that it's engaging local communities and targeting sort of real impacts on the ground in ways that benefit the poorest are sort of really the sort of benchmarks that we'd be looking for any kind of G8 or G20 initiative. Maybe just see if there's any other, I know there's a couple other folks on the call. Are there any other folks that have a question?
Again, it's star and one to ask a question. We have a follow-up from Tiffany Stecker with Climate Wire. Please go ahead.
Sorry. Thanks for taking my call again. Tom, I just wanted to double-check on something you said. You said there was 22% delivery in 3 years for the Lacula initiative?
Yeah, 22% dispersed.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me clarify terms. There were $22 billion pledged,
mm-hmm.
and then that ends up often takes quite a while to actually be dispersed on the ground, and
right.
in those 3 years, 22%. So like I said, that 22% will inevitably go up because some of those pledges that have been made will actually get delivered on the ground. But we are concerned that not 100% will, and we're concerned with the pace.
Also, I was wondering, there's been some alerts of the next food security kind of crisis zone will be the Sahel. Have any of the organizations on the call dealt with that region specifically, and do you think that it will be, you know, pointed out in either the G8 or G20 as a region that needs attention this year?
Sure. Well, Save the Children is on the ground in four of the countries in Mauritania, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali. And it's certainly a situation that is not, I think, internationally or globally getting enough attention for what the particularly women and children are going through there. So it's certainly our hope that as the leaders gather in Camp David and look at chronic malnutrition and food security more generally, that they also look at some of the more acute cases of that, such as West Africa. And I think we're not out of the woods either with the Horn of Africa. I mean, that was a real focus last year. And it looks, I mean, all the signs are pointing to a very difficult period in the next several months in the Horn of Africa as well. So it's a set of issues on the acute side of food security or insecurity and malnutrition that the leaders need to tackle. That was very much part of the thinking in 2009 when they had the L'Aquila Food Security Initiative, which was supposed to be a comprehensive approach, including, you know, sort of humanitarian response. And I think that piece of the humanitarian response piece very much needs to be in focus when the leaders gather in 2 weeks.
Okay, great. Are there questions from any other folks that haven't had a chance to ask the question? Otherwise, we should probably wrap up.
I'm showing no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay, great. Well, just to summarize.
I'm sorry. We did have a question up here in queue. It's from Christine Grief with DIZEP.
Okay, great.
Just a very short question. I'm Christiane Grief from DIZEP. You were mentioning a report on accountability of L'Aquila. Do you know when this would be expected? And also, did you do your own research in that? And is there any you know, material on details?
Yes. So we understand that the accountability report would come out a few days in advance of the summit itself, so probably that week of May 14th. We don't have an exact date. And I would just say for ActionAid, we have prepared a sort of analysis, shadow analysis of some of the trends since L'Aquila, which we'll be releasing tomorrow, and we'll be sure to share that with you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Anyone?
I'm now showing no further questions in queue.
Okay, great. Anyone else? Anything? If not, again, thanks to those who have joined. I think it's been hopefully a useful discussion. And just to underscore some of the key messages with the G8 summit just 3 weeks away, certainly as anti-poverty advocates, we're hopeful and hopeful that the Obama administration and the rest of the G8 will rally to respond to what are real and urgent crises around the world, from the Sahel to the Horn of Africa, and to further their own commitments that they made 3 years ago at the G8 summit in Italy. And think that there is definitely a moment in the next 3 weeks where the political will that is needed needs to be found. So we are also, for those that are following these issues, available for further comment and happy to provide insight on the food issues around the G8 summit in the coming weeks. Please feel free to call on any of us and our organizations if you would like further comment or analysis. So thanks again for joining us, and have a wonderful day.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.